also grateful for a church that welcomes us to share our testimony. Just a few weeks ago when we were excommunicated from the Amish church, I asked our bishop if I can come and share our testimony. And he was like, no, probably not. We'd rather not. It's like, that's okay. I don't have to. I know where I belong. I know where I stand with God. I would love to, but that's okay. So yeah, a little bit about my past, or I guess about my childhood. I grew up in a home where we were taught about Christ, we were taught about Jesus, and we read the Bible pretty much every weekend. I didn't grow up having devotions as a family until I was probably 16 or so. Since we all worked at home, we were able to eat breakfast together, and we all had devotions together in the morning, which was a privilege. After that, it was a blessing to be able to do that as a family. But growing up in my younger years, Dad was a workaholic, but he provided well for the family. We did a lot of things together. We did a lot of vacations together. And one of the key moments that stick out in my life about Dad is when we were down in the Blue Ridge Mountains, and we were hiking. We had stopped at an overlook and had decided that we're going to hike to the next overlook. And so we started off. The van went ahead of us to the next overlook, and we started off as a couple of my cousins and our family. And we kept hiking, We didn't get anywhere. And finally, Dad was like, well, we know the road's up above us. We were below the road, so we're just going to hike straight up the mountain and get to the road. So we did. And it reminds me of how God is like that. He, you know, when we're down in the valley, he comes through to us and he brings us up. He takes us straight up the mountain sometimes and brings us to the top. Just as we got to the road, our van came around the corner and they picked us up. We weren't showing up, so they decided, well, they're going to come to see if we went back to the place we were before. But yeah, it's just something that stands out in my life about my dad, the way he led us up the mountain and the way that God leads us up to the top. When I was pretty young, I was sexually abused by another man outside of the family, and I believe that's where Satan planted the seed of porn or of sexual addiction into my life. It's something that I asked God about a few years ago. Soon after I was born again, I just asked him, you know, where did this start? And he revealed that to me, and I had completely forgotten about it. It never bothered me, but I was just amazed at how something so little, maybe not little, but just a little bit can start something so wild. I struggled with a porn addiction in my teen years for probably 10 years. I would say it was from when I was 16 to 25, so 9 years. And many times I had tried to kick that habit, to get rid of it. And I'd tell God this, I'd tell God that, and, you know, I'll do this if you do that. And it never worked. But at age 25, when I received Christ into my life, that addiction completely went away over the period of a few months. I was amazed, and many other people as well were amazed that I was able to actually become free of that on my own through Christ. From what I've heard in the past, speaking to counselors, it's very, very rare that you can actually do that without any really good counseling. But I'm here to tell you that it is possible. I don't know where you guys are at in your journey. I trust that most of you, and hopefully all of you, are free from any porn, any sexual addiction. But if you're not, Christ can change you. Christ can get you free from that. All you have to do is trust him and walk with him. It takes the daily walk with God When I became born again, I started having devotions in the morning, my own personal devotions, and I believe that's where a lot of that really started to set me on a path of healing, reading the Word of God and just praying and asking Him to continue to set me free from that. And I'm so grateful that I can stand up here and say that I am free of that, and yeah, it's just such a privilege, such a blessing. But I do encourage any of you, if you are struggling with that, you don't have to do it alone. There's many other people that struggle with that. But trust God, seek God more than you are. If you're still struggling, you're not seeking God enough. I'm sorry, but that's just what it comes down to. God should replace that completely in your life if you let Him, and He will. Another thing that the last couple of weeks, as the church was praying for against human trafficking in the local area, just reminded me of how my porn addiction really fueled that. Many people don't believe that, don't realize that, but if you're watching porn, you're actually fueling human trafficking. Without porn, without the million-dollar or multi-million-dollar porn industry, there would be no reason for human trafficking. Men can do that on their own if there's no money behind it. And yeah, that just after I found that out, I was like, I was just so embarrassed and so sorry for what I had done to many of those people. Even if I hadn't done it physically, I did it just by doing something stupid, by watching porn. A couple key friends. I don't think Mike and Kate are here this morning, but my wife Suzanne and Mike and Kate were very key in my journey with Christ. They encouraged me. They stood with me when other people would condemn me or would look at me like I'm crazy. We did some pretty wild stuff together, some crazy things together, but they were always there with me through that, and I'm really grateful for that. One thing that a few weeks ago when Amos Soltz was here, he talked about the power of alcohol. After I had become born again, I pursued a relationship, and that didn't work out, so I turned my back on God for a few days. And it was New Year's Eve, and I went out with a couple of my friends, and we decided we went to a hockey game to watch hockey, and afterwards we were going to go out and party, and that we did. I went out with the intention of giving up alcohol after 12 o'clock. I'm not going to drink anymore. But I was intending to be pretty hammered by then. So I started drinking. I drank I don't know how many drinks. I did I don't know how many shots, enough to probably lay a couple guys over. But I couldn't get drunk. I couldn't feel anything, and I was angry. I went home sober that night, and looking back, I'm really grateful for that, and I know it was because of the power of prayer. God can render alcohol useless if He wants to. If people ask Him to, if people ask for protection, over them, and I believe my parents were praying that night. And other people as well, I'm sure, were. Talking about protection, Mel, I happened to think about it when you asked if anybody has a testimony for this week. On Thursday night, when we went out to Jesse's for our couple's book study, I hopped into our car at home and started the car, backed it up, was going to let it cool down a little bit, and when I got back out, it was shut down. And I was like, well, what's going on? Oh, the oil light came on. So I checked the oil was good. And it wouldn't clear up, so I pulled it over, and we hopped in the Explorer and took off. On the way home, we hit some really nasty rain coming through Lancaster on 30, just after 222. We hit a pretty big water puddle, and I'm pretty confident that if we'd have been in the car, we'd have hydroplaned and probably lost control. So I thank God for the way that He, didn't let the car run. And I hopped in the car the next day, and it runs fine. So. I praise God for that. Another key part of my testimony is in 2018, many of you probably knew my Uncle David or knew of him, but he took his own life fall of 2018. And That was a challenging time for us as a family. It pretty much wrecked our family, the Ash family. It caused a lot of grief, a lot of hurts. And for me personally, in my walk with God, I felt like I was in a good place with God. I felt like I was doing really well. And you know, getting a lot of alone time in with God. And when that happened, it seemed like every waking minute was spent with family, trying to work through this process. And with that, I didn't realize it at the time, but my time alone with God went south at that time. And I don't have an excuse for it. It's just, I know that's when it was. But one thing I learned through that was that if somebody's hurting, there's a few things that you shouldn't say. And one is, I know what you're feeling. I know what you're going through. Another one is, God allowed it for a reason. And I think the biggest thing that you can do if somebody's hurting, if you don't know what to say, if you don't have anything encouraging to say to them, just go be with them. My dad said that there was many people that stopped in and tried to speak into his life, but there's one person that stuck out to him, came, sat with him, didn't say a thing, and left. And it was a blessing to him. That meant more to him than all the other people that tried to speak words of life into him and did. One of my favorite scriptures is John 8. And it comes because of my sexual addiction. It talks about, it's a scripture where the scribes and Pharisees brought an adulterous woman to Jesus. And at the end of that time, he told her that I forgive your sins, go, or I forgive you, go and sin no more. And I believe that's what he has done to me as well. He has forgiven my sins, and I believe that he has told me to go and sin no more. I feel many times in my life, little things here and there where I didn't act the way I should have. I didn't encourage someone, or I didn't let God speak through me, or even a crazy little debate with my dad can turn into that. And but I'm grateful that God is there. He's there with grace at all times, and he does. Yeah, he has completely changed me, and he is continuing to take me to another level. Another way that he has been faithful for us in our walk with him as a family, when we were excommunicated, we prayed specifically that that the ministers wouldn't speak their normal giving us over to the devil thing, and they didn't. They just came and removed our membership from the church. That's all they did, and that was a blessing to us. So just that once again proved how God is faithful to answer, and he cares about the little things, which that was a big thing to us, but I believe it's a little thing to him. So, yeah, that's my story. That's my life. Once again, I'm so grateful to be a part of your church here, and I look forward to plugging in more over the next years, as long as God allows us to be here. Samuel.